Welcome to Steam-Powered Scoundrels, a Malifaux podcast.
Episode 3, Nelly's Stupid Punchable Face. So, usual hobby, games played, all that shit, news, reactions, cat videos.
Yes.
Oil wrestling.
We should definitely be an audio podcast reviewing cat videos.
Yes.
And on that note... Welcome to Steam Powered Scoundrels, another episode.
Another episode.
Shut up. That's going to be the title now. Deal with it.
I was thinking we could like start actually putting what's in the episode in the title, but now you've kind of forced our hand for at least the third one.
Another episode question mark?
One more joke title. It's so awful.
The second one wasn't really a joke title.
It was just instructions. That was kind of a joke, though.
So I'm Doug.
I'm Victoria.
I'm Dave.
Again. For the third time, because you're our only friend, Dave.
I'm totally a guest.
Well, no, Kyle's going to come on.
Going to come on at some point. He said he would do it. We kind of talked about what we'd do, so at some point we're going to get the Kyle Bodie from the Schemes and Stones coming to our humble podcast.
The Coyote?
Yes, Kyle the Coyote. Bodie. On the forums.
Is that his name? On the forums?
Yeah.
Nice.
K-H-Y-O-D-E-E.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fancy spelling.
Uh-huh.
Super fancy.
So, episode 3, we will be bringing our usual boring talk about news and games we played and hobby progress.
You probably don't want to advertise at the beginning that it's boring, because then people will stop listening just right now.
People probably don't really listen to us. Anyways, and if they do, it's because we're the last resort.
Oh. My feelings are hurt now.
If you had them.
We work so hard at this.
Kind of. Well, we try.
We try.
Yeah, we're trying.
We put in an effort.
We'll eventually become good at it, and people will like us, and we'll get all the friends and popular spaghetti.
People will make us spaghetti?
People will make us spaghetti.
I just want people to like us. That's my life goal.
Back on topic.
I just want friends.
For segment with news and hobby and all that goodness, up-to-date stuff. Then the second segment, or third segment, because we just wing this, we will be continuing our coverage on Masters, faction by faction, ranking the worst to best. And this episode, we will be going over the Neverborn.
Yay!
Those guys. And then after that, by request, we had one request to go over what we use and why we use it for our, basically, everything we do our hobbying with. Paints, equipment, modeling supplies, workspace, probably, all that jazz. And then a little preview of what's going to happen next episode, or the next episode that we bring Dave back on.
Yes.
I get to come back again?
Well. moving on. News! I think I'm going to say that every time, probably.
Probably.
Until someone tells me it's annoying.
It's annoying.
We've got two more reveals for the new Neverborn, the new Masters coming out in Ripples of Fate. The last two to be revealed. Nelly Cochran of the Guild, and Zip, the Sky Pirate from the Gremlins.
Nelly looks super annoying. Just her face.
So Victoria hates Nelly's face.
Really?
I think she's going to be really fun to play as.
She looks
so
punchable.
I'm just looking at the front of her card. I don't want to play it. I don't want to play against it.
Yeah, she's like Ironsides, but more annoying. Because she gains evidence, and you can't hit her very hard, and she can just move her models away, move your models or her models away, if anybody misses, if you're within 8 inches, which is kind of cool.
I mean, her mechanics and stuff look really neat, I don't like her face. It just looks really super irritating to me.
I can't get past
She's going to be irritating to deal with, I think. She's almost like a mix between Colette and Ironsides from Arcanist, where she's just all about dropping scheme markers, moving people around, and then not being hit, or if she's hit, not very hard.
I'm not really feeling the Ironsides connection, because...
Yeah, I'm not really either, but, you know, I don't play Ironsides, so I wouldn't know.
I mean, I just want to hear what's your opinion on why you think it's like Ironsides.
It's more the evidence unique mechanic with, like, adrenaline with Ironsides, where you can gain more and more evidence if they're near scheme markers.
I think it's, I don't think it's near scheme... Okay, let's see. When an enemy model within 8 inches takes an interact action, this model gains the following condition, evidence plus 1 at the end of the turn and this condition, then you may place a scheme marker in base contact with this model. Goody.
Yeah.
So, if they interact, then you can do that, so you just gotta avoid line of sight, it looks like. And yeah. Then, let's see, create a reporting at the start of this model's activation, and may discard a card to gain the evidence plus 1 condition, so she can just give it to herself. Revisionist history is the thing that everyone's probably going to hate the most.
Yes.
Yeah. Can't cheat damage against her, and she can cheat your damage, regardless of negative flips or jokers.
Yeah. And then the run from the truth is nice, because it's after a model, not their models or your models. If any model misses, they can be moved, which would be really annoying.
You have to reduce her evidence by 1 to do it.
Yeah.
Well, you can just bring condition removal against her. Yeah, if you remove all that evidence, she's not going to be nearly as good.
You're also burning cards or hoping for interact actions, which aren't all that common.
Especially if you know what she does.
You're definitely not going to take schemes against Guild that are going to be very interact heavy for fear of Nelly now.
Yeah. You obviously wait and see if she shows up across from you and then pick those schemes that don't involve interacting.
Yeah.
I think the revisionist history is offset slightly by her not having any damage reduction whatsoever.
Yeah, no armor, no bulletproof, no hard to wound, no hard to kill.
Only 11 wounds. So if you bring a high minimum damage against her, she should crumple fairly quickly.
Yeah.
But we gotta move on. That's Nelly. I guess it's sort of nice that we have a tomboyish type character.
She seems pretty plucky.
Very pluck. All the pluck.
So pluck.
Yeah. I like her shoes.
Yeah, I have a feeling that quill in her hand is going to be a separate piece.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's going to hate it.
Separate pieces.
Yeah. You know, overall, I think she's a cute model. I just can't get past her face. For whatever reason, it just really irritates me.
This is the same issue I have with Asami.
She just has a punchable face.
Yeah.
Yes, very punchable face. I'm sure plenty of people will be wanting to punch her face.
Yeah.
And her last revealed master, Zip, the Gremlin Sky Pirate, who is... I really love the model, honestly.
It is a really cool sculpt.
That's going to be fun to have.
Now, going down the card, 6 defense, 6 willpower. Do we read off the card? Yeah, that's fine. They showed it. It's public knowledge.
Yeah.
Let's go back real quick. Read off Nelly's stats. She's a defense 6 with a tome built in, willpower 6, wound 11, walk 5, no charge, and height 2. Zip, on the other hand.
The tome is interesting, because nothing on the front of her card has anything. So I'm assuming some sort of upgrade will be based off of her, like a defensive thing based off of some sort of suit.
I hope not.
That would be really irritating. But it is very strange that they put the tome up there and don't have anything in the abilities. So that's probably what's going to happen.
Damn it.
What?
I don't want her to have defensive trigger.
No!
At least she passed to pay for it.
True. It would be an upgrade, so she'd have to spend stones on it.
I'm also looking at, like, she's probably going to be 8-8 half the time with frickin' Francisco following her around.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on to something I like. Zip, who's just goofy, as gremlins often are.
I love that his defensive trigger is called Blasting Off Again.
Yeah, definite Team Rocket vibe.
with a kid who can't get enough Pokemon right now.
Yeah, It's interesting seeing that it's insignificant, but apparently, after talking to another Gremlins player, that's not all that uncommon for masters, that they can't take interact actions. I think it's Matt here in the local area. I think another Gremlin is also insignificant for a master. I can't remember which one.
Huh. I wouldn't know.
I don't know either. I'm not up on Gremlins.
But this seems like a hard counter to the new guild model. Insignificant, no interact actions, constant yammering.
Yeah.
Can't take an interact action.
Well, you can. You just have to discard two cards.
Yeah.
So it's not chatty. It's chatty light.
Yeah, basically.
But let's start at the top of the card, which I was trying to do, and then Dave spoiled the insignificant. Thank you, Dave. Zip, who is just Zip. Z-I-P-P. Master Living Gremlin Sky Pirate, which looks like a lot of fun.
That's new.
Defense 6, willpower 6, wounds 12, a walk of 8.
He can fly.
That's huge.
A charge of 5, and height of 2.
That's interesting that his charge is 5.
Yeah.
A lot of flyers have weird charge distances.
Yeah.
Like, Karis, I think, has a walk and charge of 6.
Okay.
It's also possible that he might be, like, a ranged type.
Yeah.
Model that you wouldn't really need a high charge on. Or it's probably a balancing thing. First on the card, a defense and willpower trigger needing a mask called Blasting Off Again. After resolving against an enemy, place this model anywhere within 6 inches of its current location. That's place, which is crazy.
So that won't trigger disengaging. It's just, I'm off. Can't touch me.
Yeah.
So most of the time, like 95% of the time, you're only going to hit him once. Because any person playing Zip is probably going to keep at least a low mask in their hand to just teleport him away.
Yep.
And then constant yammering, which is the chatty way. Enemy models within 6 inches must discard 2 cards, one declaring an interact action, or the action immediately fails. Then, as Victoria mentioned, flight and insignificant. And I'm pretty sure they gave him insignificant because walk 8 and impossible to pin down would make him way too powerful of a steam runner.
Do you guys know what kind of healing the Gremlins have?
Oh, they have the Slop Hauler. That's all you need to know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And really, you've got to be kind of close to the Slop Hauler, but still.
Well, with how far he can go, it's not really that big a deal to like, move him. I don't know.
So I can see a Slop Hauler in the backfield for Zip to fly back to after...
To Zip to, if he would.
Ah.
Yeah.
To get his wounds healed after taking a punch to the face to keep him going. Because, yeah, 12 wounds, and the only defensive thing is blasting off again. He could get taken down if he doesn't get that mask pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, because he's a master. Even if you don't have it in your hand, you can just stone for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's ways, I suppose.
It's unlike Nelly, where Nelly, you definitely need high minimum damage. Zip, you just need to smack him hard once. Because you're not going to get that second attack.
Backing up, though, he's really fun to look at.
He's goofy.
Yeah. He is so fun to look at.
He's going to be a lot of fun to see on the table.
Oh, man, I almost want to just buy him for the model.
So I'm guessing then we're going to be getting a bunch of Sky Pirates in the new book to go with him.
Well, at least his box and probably another 2 or 3 things. That Silurid that they showed one time with the pirate hat on, probably a Sky Pirate, I'm guessing, or hoping. I got anything else? I
don't really have much else to add about Zip. I don't know Gremlins.
Anything else, Dave?
No, he's going to be interesting to see. All of the masters revealed so far are going to be really interesting to see the backside of the cards.
Yes.
Because you're only really getting half of what you can do here.
Okay, so now that we've seen all 7 of them, real quick, which one are you most interested in? And which one are you least interested in?
Oh, gosh.
Or at least most interested in learning more?
Being an Arcanist player, definitely interested in the Arcanist master.
How about one more, the out of faction?
Yeah, I kind of like the Neverborn one. It has that interesting corpse mechanic It'll be cool to see how people figure out.
The Neverborn?
Or, sorry, not Neverborn, Rezzer.
Rezzer, okay.
Yeah, sorry, I'm looking at the Rezzer model that said Neverborn.
Oh, well, I'm really super looking forward to the new Rezzer Master, obviously. But also, I'm really interested in the Ten Thunders model. I think she's going to be really interesting.
Kind of least interested in the Neverborn model, even though it looks really cool. Just, I don't remember the Master really seeming too interesting, on the front of the card at least.
Hey, time out. We actually, the last time we recorded, we didn't know about Parker Barrows either.
Oh, we didn't.
So should we go and review him?
Yeah, let's go ahead and go over Parker Barrows.
Yeah.
So,
who I am least interested in. Just gonna throw that out there.
That's the outcast guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so, okay, give me a second, we'll just...
Hold
and up. We almost forgot. Forgot Parker Barrows, who came out the day after our last episode. So we'll go hit run him down real quick. Parker Barrows, the new outcast master. Master Living and the Bandit keyword. Awesome. Characteristic. You want to say keyword. Bandit characteristic, which will be kind of fun to see. Defense 6, Willpower 6, Wounds 14, highest in the game. Walk of 5, Charge of 7, Height of 2. Abilities, go through their pockets. When an enemy model is killed within 6 inches, draw a card. Then, if the enemy was not killed by a friendly bandit, discard a card. Nice, it's not game-breaking, but it's a nice way to cycle cards.
It seems really balanced to me, because, like, if you end up sacrificing... Well, no, that's not really being killed, though. I don't know. Anyway, it's nice and balanced that if your crew didn't kill it, you have to discard a card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still good for the blah, blah, blah. I'll apologize right now. I am on hydrocodone, so...
You just said I am a hydrocodone.
I said I am on hydrocodone.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one to see how it comes up. So I'm assuming you're going to be taking this for a very kill-heavy kind of crew, just to cycle cards.
It would... Because the Fistful of Script thing makes me seem like he's... Maybe he's the schemer in the group and the rest of his crew is more killy, but...
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Limited, yeah. Another, two more abilities. Limited supplies. Once per turn, after this model discards an upgrade, add one soulstone to this crew's soulstone pool. So, probably something... Not like McCabe where he gives them out, but more like Shenlong. He brings sort of tools that he needs for these... heists, I guess, which would be the encounter. And then he'll discard to use them for something cool. Maybe he'll get them back? I don't know. Obviously, I'm not in the beta. I wasn't in the beta for this. Then a Fistful of Script. At the end of this model's activation, it may discard up to 4 cards to select a number of enemy scheme markers within 4 inches, equal to the number of cards discarded. Place a friendly scheme marker into base contact with each selected marker, then discard each selected marker. Holy shit.
That sounds scary against Colette.
Yeah.
But the limited supplies, I can see that being more of a late game kind of adjustment as you get kind of down to it. You don't need this upgrade anymore. But I could use another Soulstone for better cards or reducing damage. But the Fistful of Script, that will be really cool, I think, for people like Colette and the scheme marker heavy ones, the new
belly possibly.
Yeah, what's the detonation one? Were you
plant explosives?
Yeah, plant explosives. That'll be good. Basically, just take over their work, discard a bunch of cards, and go. These are all mine now. I'm gonna cash it in.
It seems decently balanced because you have to discard cards, and 4 cards is 2/3 of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're ever going to see 4 scheme markers getting overturned because people will learn very quickly that there's just certain things you're not going to take if you sit across from Parker Barrows. Like, Search the Ruins is almost completely right out. You're just never going to be able to pull that off unless you kill him first.
Yeah. Well, plus, all the markers have to be within 4 inches.
Yeah.
That's very unlikely.
It's another. Well, you also can't stack them. It deters stacking. This cape is dumb. It's a coat cape thing. It's so...
You really don't like it.
It's so flappy.
It's windy out.
It's super windy. It's a tornado out.
Yeah.
It's literally made from crepe paper.
Okay. I thought Ramos's coat was super duper billowy. This is insane.
Yeah. And it's gonna be in like 7 pieces.
And mostly I'm just butthurt because I really wanted him to be like an Arcanist, gunslinger, revolutionary guy with a flag. And that's not a flag, that's a coat. He's kinda bland, model wise.
I really hope he's more interesting on the other side of the car of his card.
Probably.
I could see maybe bringing like Hannah with, just because she can punch things real good and kill things, and you get the extra card. So then you're more likely to have cards at the end of your hand to actually do Fistful Script.
Yeah. Well, depending. It might be some case where you would want to activate him first. Or heck, you could bring him with like the Nothing Beast and a bunch of Void Wretches and dump 4 cards immediately just to boost their defense.
True.
That's a corner case. Probably not going to see that happen very often.
Yeah.
He'll be interesting on the other side of the card, I'm thinking, with all them guns.
And the upgrades.
Yeah.
So back to our initial question. What master are you most interested in and least interested in? And just sort of ignore your home team for this. Dave, real quick.
So Rezzer's for the most, Neverborn for the least. Her card didn't really do much for me, and the pose is kind of static, but the wings will be cool.
Dora?
Ignoring home team.
Yes.
Most excited for the 10 Thunders model. Least for Outcasts.
I would say I'm equally interested in Zip and Reva. And least interested in Parker Barrows. Love the name, though. Name's clever.
It's a very good name.
You just hate that cloak.
Yes. I'm probably butthurt. It's mostly just butthurt.
His is. Mine is I just don't find his mechanics that interesting. I mean, they'd be nice in a game. I'm just... meh.
Alright, well, other news we got going on. I'm gonna be real nice to Kyle here and mention that he did a lot of work. I believe it was his work. Starting the U.S. Malifaux rankings, which you can find by going to usa.malifaux-rankings, which is malifaux-ranking.com, to check out the current rankings, and there's not a lot of data because I'm like number 8, and I'm not that good.
I didn't make the top 100.
Ouch.
I'm pretty sure I'm not even on there.
I'm at 101.
I think his criteria was you have to participate in at least 2 tournaments. Ah, they got more information. I'm down to 14. Yay!
I've only been in 1, so I only have the 1 tournament with a whopping 21.95 points.
Oh. I guess you didn't need... I guess it just had to be in 1.
Oh, okay.
With such a small pool, I'm sure it's a little more lax.
Yeah. You need a good half year and people really actually putting stuff in to get good rankings.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see how this turns out.
I really should get some more games in before the July tournament. In like 2 weeks, I think.
The 10th? Yeah. Oh man, that's coming up.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
I'm gonna need to find something to paint and get all my hopes up that I'm gonna win the painting contest finally and then get turned down again and cry inside. Or outside. Curveball, and I'll just tear up.
Just break down into...
fall onto my knees, curl up into a ball, take up as much floor space as possible, and just cry.
Ask Kyle why he hates you?
Ask Kyle why he hates me. Moving on! Other news.
Glad to have him as a guest soon, though.
Yeah! He knows I kid. I hope. I hope.
Everyone knows you kid. If they don't, they've never met you, clearly.
We have more than 0 listeners, so
yeah,
people probably know I kid. Only other thing of note is Weird Chronicles 24 came out, the bi-monthly e-zine that Weird puts out, got some stories in there, has the winner from the March contest, which was write a story that they would put in Weird Chronicles, and lo and behold, they did put other things of note. Iron Painter finished. Congratulations to Ringel. I'm hoping that's how you pronounce his name. His forum name, anyways. For winning first place. Congratulations to everyone else that managed to finish. I didn't, of course, because I suck.
We just had a lot of life stuff come up.
At least you entered.
I tried. I got two rounds in and then lost Howard Langston's arm and a whole bunch of other stuff just dumped on me. Hobby progress! Dave, what'd you do?
Not a ton. After we started doing some demo games around my place, I decided I should probably paint that terrain that I bought 6-8 months ago. So I've been working on that and trying to figure out what to do for soft cover in a desert theme.
Bushes.
There's not a lot of bushes in the desert.
Tumbleweeds.
Tumbleweeds. Pre-tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
Scrub grass.
Yeah, I was thinking that, or maybe like a broken down wagon.
Hallucinations.
A big cacti patch.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Maybe pick up that carnival set from Plasticraft that has like the sideshow things.
Cool.
Because in the 20s, that was the big thing of the big sideshows that would travel around during the Dust Bowl.
In the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Just floating.
Oh yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah.
You never heard of those desert sideshow attractions?
I missed that class in history.
So I think that might work. And actually, tonight, I finally assembled the misstep that I got from the April promotion, I think.
Oh, my.
I just finally got around to it. She went together actually much easier than Howard.
Oh, yeah, she's about at least a dozen pieces fewer than Howard.
Yeah, I didn't have to put all the robot tentacles on or individual claws. Yeah, it went together pretty smooth.
She's got an even number of limbs.
Yeah. She still barely fits on a 50mm base. I actually had to have her be off of the base slightly to actually fit. So,
still a little bit easier to manage than Howard.
It's a little bit better, because my Howard, I'm on a big rock, and he's like 60 degrees tilted, so he actually fits and looks okay.
I want someone to do a ceiling that Howard is just, like, attached to. Not sure how you'd do that on a model.
I could see doing that with, like a large arachnid or that Scorpius thing that's coming out soon.
Yeah, Scorpius!
Yeah, that'd be cool. But yeah, now that the tournament is 2 weeks away, I will probably try and rush and try to paint some models so I have some progress. Maybe the gunsmiths, since I use them quite a bit.
Yeah.
I could probably knock out the Malifaux Raptors once I figure out how to base them. Those would be pretty quick to do.
Or you could just leave them black, because black is a color birds are.
Sure, yeah.
Just like, maybe like a little yellow for the beak, and then some an eye color, and then bam, painted.
Boom, three colors. That's all you need. For a lot of places that require painting, three colors is the minimum.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for a lot of like the War Machine stuff, it's like you have to have three colors for it to be counted as painted. So it can't just be primered.
It's just like three different colored stripes.
Yeah.
just set them down on your table, get a paint roller, go over them once with one paint color, and then go over them with another paint color. Done.
Yeah. It'll be so pretty.
They'll look so good.
Jeez. I was hoping I'd get some time in with Marcus, but I don't think I'm going to get any practice with him before that tournament.
Oh, okay, the master, not some guy named Marcus.
No, no. But yeah, that's all I got.
Cool. Toria?
Oh, I'm going now?
Sure.
All right. I didn't really do any painting, because for the past couple of weeks, both of my wrists have been in braces. Last couple days, they've been out, though, so I did assemble all of the models that I had left to assemble. I based my last Rotten Bell that Doug painted for me, and then I primed a few of my models tonight. My Teddy, my Rogue Necromancy, Poltergeist, Dufresne, and Chiaki. because screw your themes. I did get guild autopsies, and those were fun to put together. We are doing Through the Breach, and you have little minis that you put together, so I did mine and a friend's model for that, which involved a lot of Frankensteining parts together that aren't supposed to go together. I'm doing a lake for our terrain, making it out of some foam board and some water effect and other basing, whatnot. Should I go ahead and talk about my game?
Yeah.
Okay. I did play Matt again. We did a Henchman Hardcore. He brought Candy, Cade, 3 Sorrows.
Illegally brought the Poltergeist.
He illegally brought the Poltergeist, but I didn't realize it at the time, and neither did he, so we just kind of let that go. And then he also brought Teddy. I brought Sybil, 2 Bells, a Nurse, a Punk Zombie, and a Cruelligan. We did Extraction for our strat, and then I took Convict Labor and Catch and Release, and Matt took Catch and Release and something else that I don't know.
He probably forgot it.
Yeah, he probably forgot, and he never really...
Did you bring a Hanged?
I did bring a Hanged. You're right. I brought a Hanged also. We made a mutual decision to end the game at turn 4 because it was getting late, and it was board game night, and we wanted to wrap up before everybody showed up. Game ended 7-4 in my favor.
There's no way it's going to come back.
Yeah.
Good on Matt for sticking it in there.
He hung in there for quite a while. He wasn't pulling very good cards, unfortunately. And I didn't really enjoy crushing him like that. What am I saying? Of course I enjoyed it. Yeah, but seriously, with that big of a gulf in the points, at a certain point I started feeling bad.
Admittedly, 7-4 is not a big gulf. But it's kind of
the way the game was going, though, I was feeling kind of bad, you know?
We probably just need to remind Matt that he's got to get a variety of models. Because he's more or less just been using stuff around.
Yeah, he's been using Dora's crew box and the Teddy for everything. I think that's
everything
with me.
Cool.
Alright, I'm to the important guy. Painting! Right now I'm painting Ramos. Mostly done with Ramos. Spent a lot of time on that coat. That big billowy coat.
Which looks fantastic, by the way.
I need to finish a couple layers on his skin, do his hair. And I decided I need to give him Chuck Taylors.
Alright.
Ramos needs Chucks.
Not sure how that's going to come out with his pant leg being like right at the ankle, but I'll try. And then the other painting, right now I'm just working slightly on the Horcats, doing a Artemis and Luna from Sailor Moon to hopefully motivate Victoria to get her Vix done. And then I'm working on the other group, the rest of the folks through the Breach models, which, as much variety as they give you in those boxes, no one's ever satisfied.
I know, right? Oh, speaking of, I'm also putting together the marionette for one of our Through the Breach models.
Matt's character, Matt's in fact.
Character.
Say Matt.
Matt's character.
Is playing kind of a street urchin turn performer type puppeteer thing. And so he's currently carrying around a marionette mostly made out of trash. So we managed to get a model that has a hand open that we can use for him to hold the puppet, and we still need to make the puppet.
Because we do like Matt.
And then we have a guy who is upset because the only metal arm they have in the box is for left arms, and he has a metal right arm. So he initially tried to use the metal arm in the female box, but that looked really dumb. So I'm probably just going to make him part Space Marine?
That could work.
Yeah, it seems it aligns a lot better than the female metal arm. Anyways. Then there's a guy who strictly does kung fu, and he is mad because we didn't have a closed fist for him to be punching with, so he settled for a knife. I'm not actually complaining, but...
Well, Brittany insisted that her model have a set of male legs because she didn't like any of the girl legs, so hers is significantly shorter than the rest of the models. Because if you look at them, the legs on the men are much shorter than the legs on the females.
Because the waist?
Because the waist.
Ah.
But.
She's playing a character that's like 4'4", yeah. Right?
Well, she's Asian. That's her character's Chinese, but yes, she's short. Playing. She is playing a short character, so it's not a huge deal, but.
So that's. We've only had two sessions. Got another session tomorrow night. It'll be fun. Trying to corral everyone together.
No one's died?
No one's died.
We haven't actually gotten into a fight yet.
Oh, wow.
Well, we ran away from a fight.
They did run away from a fight. Good on them.
We ran away from a fight at the very beginning.
Finally got our first mat from Mats by Mars. Well, so glad we did.
Which one'd you get?
The creeping moss?
Creeping mold.
Mold? Mold.
Oh, okay.
Because we got their Bundlesaurus Rex, the deal they're doing with Watch Mojo. Not Watch Mojo. But Angry Mojo. I've been on YouTube a bit too much. Angry Mojo, who does MDF terrain. And so we still have inbound a bunch of graveyard stuff.
Oh, cool. I didn't know they were doing something like this.
Yep. Shelled out about 100 and...
It's like 112?
130, because shipping.
Yeah.
It's still a really good deal. And you go, there's a ton of terrain in there, and combined with what little terrain we have, we'll actually be able to play games on different maps regularly, which is great. I've had one game since we last recorded. Playing Kyle. The Kyle. Coyote on the forums, Kyle Bodie.
Of
Schemes and Stones.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Did you know we know this guy? Yeah!
Every time we talk about Kyle, that's going to have to be how he gets introduced.
The podcast, when he comes on for our podcast, it's going to take like 3 hours.
Because every time we talk to him.
It was a friendly game. We were kind of trying out a little different stuff. Ended up being Ironsides versus Jackdaw. Extraction was the strategy. Don't remember what the scheme pool was in total, but ended up being me taking Hunting Party and Show Force, which is pretty standard for Ironsides, and him taking Hunting Party and Search the Ruins. Now, I have down I won 6-5. That sounds pretty close. And the only reason I did is because the very last action of the game was me picking up a scheme to deny him Search the Ruins. The game was a lot of fun. Not how I was expecting it to go. Ironsides did almost nothing the entire time. It reaffirmed my absolute hatred for nurses. Because Jaw single-handedly took... What?
Not even sorry.
Josh took Joss. Joss took Jackdaw down to one wound, took the strong arm suit down to one wound. I think also did a lot more damage to either the strong arm suit or Jackdaw again. And they got healed up back to full every time.
Oh, jeez.
It's just one of those things where I just could not get that last wound, and he just immediately activated the nurse and healed him up. But the good thing is that because of that, a lot of his points was tied up in being paralyzed for most of the turns, and that's probably what ended up me winning the game. I love mages. Mages are wonderful. They're super brittle. Not quite as brittle as I think people seem to think, but God, it's wonderful, just furious casting and furious casting and furious casting and not giving a darn about armor or setting them on fire, or giving them slow, or just ignoring incorporeal. Or the really fun thing is when you furious cast with the one that has a blood ward, and on the last one you bring them in close within 1 inch and then hit them with the zero action, so you're doing 4 attacks a turn?
Kind of a glass cannon, mages?
Yeah. They've got like
They can take a punch.
They got 5 wounds, and they've got Arcane Shield, which means if they haven't activated, they remove 1 damage off the top of any damage they take.
Yeah, so for late activation, they are pretty cool.
I love them. Plus, if you have play your cards right. the one that's the Nemesis Ward guy, he gives a tome for his regular shooty spell. That's an 8-inch push if you have a tome in hand, or you flip a tome. And eight inches is crazy.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, fun game with Kyle. Great. moving on, I guess. Is there anything else we need to go over?
No, like, so, did I miss it? What all did you bring? You brought Ironsides, maces.
Yeah, I don't want to go into too ton of a depth because we're not that kind of girl. Show. We're not that kind of show. I ended up bringing Ironsides, Joss, two mages, Mouse, who pulled his weight.
Literally.
Yeah. And then Johan.
Okay.
I think that might have been it. And a Metal Gaiman.
Really? You actually brought a Metal Gaiman?
Yep, he was sitting there buffing the Punchy Mage for a while, and then last turn the Strong Arm Suit got away and killed him for 1 point for Hunting Party. He brought Jack, a nurse, two guilty, Jakuna Ubume, the Strong Arm Suit, and whoever his totem is. The one lady that prevents cheating.
Gotcha. Yeah, my Ironside list keeps changing constantly. I'm never really super happy. Because I always want to bring the captain and something else big. But, yeah, I pretty much put away Metal Gaiman for the most part.
Sad.
I'm
sad what happened to them. Moment of silence. Moment of silence for the Metal Gaiman. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, I grabbed Fire Gaiman first now.
Well, I think we're going to take a break and then move on to our next segment if there's nothing else you need to talk about, Dave. Anything you need to talk about?
I haven't played a game, so no.
Victoria?
No, I'm good.
All right, we will see you soon in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Steam-Powered Scoundrels. Our second segment, we decided we're going to go over the Neverborn Masters, discussing their sculpts, and deciding which one's the worst and which one's the best, strictly by the book cover. This is my turn to go first, I believe. Yes?
It sure is.
Yes. Alright. And then once we get around to Victoria's list, we'll go in an in-depth discussion of each one of them and why everyone's wrong except for me. All right, Neverborn Masters, before we get into this real quick, we decided we're going to be the seven basic ones. Your Lucius, your Zoraida, Lilith, Pandora, Dreamer, Kaloti, and...
Lynch.
Lynch. I always forget Lynch. And then adding on top of that, the vintage Pandora model. And on top of that, because you can play him as a master, Wrath from the Crossroads 7. So my list, and I want to first say that this was a very difficult decision compared to the other lists we've done so far. I think all of the Neverborn Masters are very good sculpts and very good representations of Masters. So this is much harder for me. But at number 9, I have Lucius, because while he is somewhat intimidating with that smooth mask of his and his posture, he looks like a guild lawyer that comes with his box. And you know my whining about needing to stand out from one's box. But then, coming at number 8, Kaloti. And while he mostly rules his box, and it's kind of cool that he's a giant four-armed puppet controlling other puppets, the dress is kind of bland to me. And Vasilisa also has four arms. And so there's a bit of a confusion there if you just look at the both of them. It's like, well, I can kind of... I would give it to Kaloti more just because he's upright compared to Vasilisa. But there is still a little bit of confusion there. Number 7, Lilith. Mostly because of her sword. Her pose with the sword. What? Judging me already?
No.
Number 6, regular Pandora. Number 7, Zoraida.
That's a 5.
Number 5, Zoraida. Number 4, Jacob Lynch. Number 3, Vintage Pandora. Number 2, The Dreamer. And my number 1 master, who's barely a master, is Wrath.
Really? Dreamer that high?
Yes.
I can see it.
And I will. Well, we can go into later, but it's mostly the exact same sort of gut feeling I had with Seamus.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I know his reasoning for the Dreamer being so high.
But we'll get into that later. Dave.
My turn? Now that I've readjusted it, because I had two fours in it. At the bottom, I have Lucius.
Hey, surprise.
Because looking at his box, I would actually think the captain would be the leader.
Yeah, Captain National.
Yeah, because the rest of them are like, I'm just a lawyer dude. I'm not really doing much, and this guy's actually, like, take action. We're doing things. Eight, I have Dreamer.
Oh. Ooh.
That's why I was surprised it was so high for you.
Well, this would be very boring if we all had the same list.
Yeah, it's not a super interesting model. Going off of child sculpts, Malfoy child looks way more interesting. But yeah, I can just start rocking through this. Seven, Pandora.
Regular Pandora?
Regular Pandora.
Okay.
Six, Kaladi. Five, Wrath.
Oh.
Oh.
Four, Lilith. Three, Lynch, two, Zoraida, and one, Vintage Pandora. Because that's the big, like, avatar sculpt, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I thought that looked super cool.
Alright.
Okay.
I can definitely see that. And now we get into the arguments here with Victoria's
number list. 9. I also had Lucius.
No one likes Lucius.
In the fluff, he is the most terrifying to me.
Yeah.
But sculpt?
Well, yeah, also, because you can't really do much without taking away the concept of him just being a bureaucrat.
Yeah.
Because if you make his Neverborns, if you make a sculpt too Neverborn-y, then it just looks out of place in the guild, which is a big problem with McMorning, I have with McMorning.
Yeah.
True.
I think it's mostly a case of there's so many good sculpts in the Neverborn.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with Doug that this was the hardest list for me so far, is because the Neverborn are all just very mastery on the whole.
Yeah.
Number 8, I had Zoraida.
Wow.
I don't really, like I said in the last episode, I just kind of go by what I like and what strikes me as being really cool or something I want to play, and Zoraida is just not it.
Not into gross old hag.
No, I'm not into gross old hag.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree with you on that. I
can see where she would be higher on somebody else's list. She's just not to my taste. And that's how I rank mine.
She's higher on my list because I have this habit of listing old people fairly high on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you sort of think that age comes experience and responsibility. And so she's a billion years old.
Well, and I mean, in her box, she's definitely the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't like her that much.
I think her sculpt has a lot of detail, which makes painting fun and a challenge.
Yeah, why don't you put her at number 2?
That's why I put her at number 2, is I thought the sculpt was really cool. There's a lot of detail, a lot of things to play around with. And yeah, you pretty much know, she's definitely the leader. Especially if you have, like, the voodoo doll hanging out too, and she has one in her hand.
Uh-huh. it's the Ramos effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get why she's higher on your guys' lists. She's just not to my taste.
Yeah.
And I'll admit that it's totally a personal taste-based thing for me on my lists. Number 7, I have Kaladi.
Kaladi.
Mine was kind of the same with Doug, because Vasilisa's in there, and she's also got four arms, so it's kind of a confusion thing going on there. Also, creepy puppet dude. And I realize that it's supposed to be that way. Puppets just creep me out.
Probably not the biggest fan of the fluff, too, being a mother.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kaladi fluff is pretty...
Yeah, I can see where you can see... Velissa being a leader over Kaladi. Actually, yeah, thinking about it now, she looks more mastery.
I think he has a more dominating pose.
Yeah, he's got more presence on him than Vasilisa does, but there's still going to be a little bit of confusion when you look at them. They're both the same height. They both got four arms.
Mm-hmm.
They're both puppets.
They're both puppets. They're both wearing dresses.
Lots of dresses. We kind of all agree on him. He's at least the lower half on everyone's list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm actually adjusting my list a little bit here.
Okay.
I'm going to put Pandora at number 6.
Pandora?
Yeah. Put Dora at 6. I like Pandora. She's the one Neverborn master that I have right now. I think she's really cool. She's got a neato sculpt. I just don't think she's as cool as some of the other ones.
That's kind of where I landed too. She looks... It's a nice enough sculpt, but it's anything super cool.
Yeah.
It's fitting with the fluff in that she spends a lot of time around humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's not going to, I guess, stick out a whole ton compared to them. Which is sort of why she's kind of hiding the box.
Yeah, a little bit.
She doesn't have it out
she's in front
got it, of her
like,
or above her.
Up on her chest, and it's kind of behind her hands and arms. But I mean, it's definitely still there. And it's a neat sculpt, and it works well for the character.
But there's just better sculpts in the
faction.
There's
just better sculpts in the faction, is all. Yeah. Next up, I have Lilith.
Ooh.
I like the big sword. I like the giant sword. I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah, she was initially higher on my list, and just kind of as I went through, slowly kind of went down.
I mean, when we kind of discussed a little bit. Go ahead.
The biggest problem I have with Lilith and why she was so low on my list specifically is because she's supposed to be this hot-headed, badass, murdering swordswoman kind of thing. Also, leader of the Nephilim and all that jazz. But the sculpt is so... The pose is awful. So it looks like she doesn't know what she's doing with that thing. It looks like instead of her wielding the sword as a weapon... She was hired to model the sword. Like how you get some chick to sit on your fancy car to make it look nicer, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, her first edition one isn't much better. She just looks like a sassy lady with a sword.
Sassy!
And I mean, I'll agree, the pose is not the best. I just happened to...
Yeah, she actually ended up on number 4 for me.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look up this...
And it probably doesn't... hurt that I'm rather fond of the mythology behind Lilith, that might be a little bit of bias.
How do I hold this sword? I just put my hand here? Okay, I'm gonna put it behind my back and stick my boots out.
It's similar to her alt pose, if you're doing an image search, or she has like a scythe. She just has like an arm behind her back.
Oh.
Weapon.
Wow, that outfit.
How are you going to use that scythe?
I don't know.
She doesn't either.
The alt sculpt would have been way down on my list if we had done.
Yeah.
Definitely not a font.
That was pretty low.
Yeah.
It looks like they met in the middle with those two sculpts for this new one.
I'll take this over the old stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Number 4, I'm going to say Dreamer.
The Dreamer.
I'm pretty sure I was picking up what you were laying down with the Dreamer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Your reasoning. Oh, you want me to go ahead and explain?
Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
Okay, so the Dreamer, his box. You've got all these big, scary, tentacly monsters, and then these little, scary, toy, demon things. And then you've got this small child. In a nightgown. In the middle of it. How is that not terrifying?
Child is the scariest part of that box.
The child...
You have Lord Chompy Bits, one of the biggest models in the game, this four-armed nightmare demon. And you got this little kid, Nika!
Just in the middle of this hell beastscape thing.
And he's not phased at all.
Yeah, and he's just totally fine. He's just got his little teddy bear and his pillow and his nightgown, and he is fine. This, no. That is the scariest... Scariest ass Neverborn master is the Dreamer.
I love it.
I can see going from that context.
Oh, Coppelius.
Yeah, he's got Coppelius.
Who's Coppelius makes me uncomfortable too.
Yeah, he's smaller.
Is that Cthulhu Octodad?
Yeah, he's smaller, not Cthulhu.
Which I would love to play that game.
I know, right? After.
I was just gonna say that Coppelius looks like one of the Doctor Who
Ood?
Allies.
Yeah.
The Ood.
Yes.
But he eats eyes.
if I ever got into Nevermore, I'd have to add a little like, globe into his hand. So it made him look like an ood.
Make the globe an eyeball. Number three.
Number three, I have Jacob Lynch.
Yeah.
Dat Skellington.
I like his sculpt a good bit.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the skeleton, he would be pretty low on the list.
If it wasn't for the skeleton, he would be so boring. But he has the skeleton ghost thingy made up of a bunch of...
playing cards?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes the sculpt.
He rules over his box, because everyone else is either... You see all this purpley stuff, and everyone is either, like, part of it, completely made of it, in the case of
Huggy.
But then you have this one guy who's got it in the palm of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really nice image you got there. The playing cards make it... I'm so curious! Like, I didn't know anything about Jacob Lynch, and I saw the boxes. Why are the playing cards? This dude in a suit summoning a skeleton demon thing with playing cards. I wanted to know more.
Yeah, the skeleton definitely makes the model.
It doesn't hurt that I'm really enthused by his fluff, the whole casino slash drug dealer type person. Which, I pose this to you, Brilliance being this awful, awful drug he's peddling to people. Since Jacob Lynch is half Ten Thunders, wouldn't that not technically make it the Malifaux version of opium?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Basically.
That's my headcanon.
Seems about right.
Yeah, every model in his box is a really cool sculpt. But yeah, then he's just sitting there by himself. No big deal. I just have a big skeleton. Yeah, his box is really cool. I thought about picking it up at one point.
At number two, I have Wrath.
Wrath?
Yep.
We can finally gush over Wrath. Wrath is way too damn cool to be a henchman.
Yes, he is. He's also way too damn cool to be number five on your list, Dave.
But I liked Zoraida and Jacob and Lilith. I could probably switch with Wrath, but...
Why don't we just... Yeah, let's just was, put Wrath at number three. How about that? We're just going to change this, right?
We're just going to change Dave's list for him.
It's alright, I have my own list.
Accept your apology for being wrong.
Especially after seeing all the other sculpts of Lilith.
Okay, yeah. Retroactively ruined the model for you.
Yeah.
No, Wrath is really sweet.
He was kind of a pain to put together.
I have most of them together except for the arms, so I didn't have a whole ton of trouble.
It was more getting the spirits to line up right.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Gotta do a lot of dry fitting with this.
Yeah.
Those spirits are so cool. Again, the thing that really makes the sculpt, just like Lynch's skeleton.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I just wish he was a better master, but he's too good to be just a henchman most of the time.
Yeah, well, we're not getting into that. We don't care.
I know, but yeah. But you can tell from the Crossroads box that he is the vocalist of the group, therefore he is the leader.
Therefore, he's the front man, therefore he runs the group.
Yeah. He has the least amount of equipment to haul.
He takes up a ton of space on that base, which I love.
Yeah, he fills the base.
Nice, powerful, legs out, arms out, pose, just filled with rage, surrounded by ghosty goos. Wonderful. The only thing I wish is he had hair.
Yeah. So then he'd be closer to like Nathan Explosion from Deathlock.
Hey! Yeah. Hey! That may or may not be what we're going to try to turn him into. Alright, so...
And then, by process of elimination, number one, I have Vintage Pandora.
Same as Dave.
Yep.
So, is that on a small base then?
I don't know.
I mean, I would have to assume that they're gonna make it small enough for her to be on a 30 mil.
She has to be.
She has to be.
Because weren't the avatars on 50s?
Yep.
Yeah.
Looking at it, it looks like maybe they cut down the extra hoobajoo going on around her a little bit. Doug's looking her up for us.
Pull the image up real quick.
I kept going back to the preview for it. I'm like, that doesn't look like it's going to fit on a 30, but neither does the Brass Arachnid or many other models.
People will make it work. Put her on like a pedestal.
You'll probably have to, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, no, it looks like around the base it's smaller and then it kind of spreads out.
I have a feeling since you can actually see the flat part of the model, that it's basically going to be a base insert.
Yep, that's what it looks like. Oh,
they don't do that very often. Or ever.
But yeah, it looks like the base part is going to be the 30 and then just all the ghosty goos are going to spread out from it a little bit and come back in.
She's super cool and massive.
Yes.
Wasn't Ionis like that too? No, he wasn't.
No.
He had a flat for just the clock, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, I have two problems with the sculpt, which is why she was lower than several other things. One, it kind of goes against the fluff. I mean, yes, she can open the box and just wreak havoc, but her whole thing is she's supposed to be incognito. So, stupidly, if I was really putting a lot of weight into that, I should have the original Pandora up, higher up, but I don't. I'm an idiot.
Well, this is what happened during the event.
Yeah.
So, that would explain why she wasn't incognito at that point, because everything was going crazy. But, I mean, I understand what you mean.
And the only other thing I really have to complain is that legs are tied together, so I'm not sure how she's supposed to move.
She'll float?
I'm guessing float. She's got a low walk, right?
Pandora? Usually? Yeah. Her walk is very low.
There you go. She just floats everywhere and can't really go very fast.
There you go.
I mean,
yeah, no, she's slow.
Rasputina has a walk of, what, 3? Mostly because she's cold.
Yes.
But she's just kind of inching along.
Yeah, we did get the exact same explanation for Vintage Pandy.
Yeah.
And Vintage Raspy. They're just going to float.
Yeah.
They float.
They'll get there eventually.
No hurry. Not rough.
I don't have much more to say about her.
Not really. I think she's really cool, surrounded by the ghosty goose. Again, I think that's what really makes the model, is having the
spirits
in the box.
And the box going on. Otherwise, she'd just look mad. No, I mean, go back and look at her again. She's literally screaming with rage. I mean, look at that.
She's upset because she can't walk now.
Ah, my legs! I need those for legging. I'm not wild about her outfit there, but it's not as bad as it could have been.
I'm not gonna mention Midris anymore. I'm done. It's a lot of flowy cloth. I like flowy cloth. And hair. There's just so much going on.
Yeah.
It's a feast for the eyes.
She's definitely floating, and she's definitely being buffeted by some supernatural power. So, Dave's been really quiet.
You okay, Dave?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just...
You're just agreeing with everything?
Yep.
Yeah, she's a cool model. It'll be interesting to see how it all works out. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be a drop-in for the base. It might end up being like Ionis, where it's all pre-built.
That would actually be kind of nice.
Yeah. If we're going to be honest, that Vintage Pandora looks like a bitch to put together.
Yeah. All the pins.
So if you're good and you're good,
yeah,
I think we can call this done. Wrap up the Neverborn Masters. Next time, I think we'll probably just wrap up the main four, the sort of core four.
Yep.
And do Guild, unless next time ends up being Kyle, who said he wanted to do Outcasts.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll either do Guild or Outcasts next time.
It depends on who it is.
Who we get. Yep.
So we will take a short break and reconvene to go over all the stuff we use for our hobby.
Our workbenches.
Good, Dave.
Whoop. Yep, I'm good.
All right, see you soon. Welcome to the third and last segment of this episode of Steam-Powered Scoundrels. We will now be going over all of the tools and paints and brushes and fun stuff we use for our glorious hobby and waste of time. This was done as sort of a request,
So if you are interested in listening to us talk about something specific, go ahead and ask, and we'll probably do it because we want friends.
We're more than happy to do it.
Unless it's like, what's the most optimal list for facing at this and this, this, and no, we're not those kind of people.
Nope.
We might do it, but we'll straight up lie to you.
We'll try. We will try. Take all the spiders.
Yeah, I was going to say, every list, Ramos takes spiders, win.
12 spiders.
We'll just give you a ridiculous...
Marcus and 12 spiders.
Yes. Because he's very good with mechanical constructs.
Yes.
They'll never see it coming.
You're right.
So I think we have a lot more stuff than probably. Dave does. So we'll let Dave go.
I guess where do you want to begin with? Do you want to go with paint or brushes?
Paints and brushes, the very basic.
Cool. I use mostly, coming from the Warm Horde scene, I have mostly P3 paints. I do have some Citadels because I like their shades and some of their technical stuff like the blood splatter, the technical rust that you can do. And there was another cool one that you can make like cracked earth by just kind of applying it over a painted surface. That's pretty fun to use. But yeah, it's mostly P3 stuff. I think I have all of their inks, most of their colors. I just started getting into using mixing medium. I was pretty much just painting water for the longest time, but mixing medium is nice. I've never really got into it, but yeah, it's really makes everything a lot smoother to go on. For brushes, I have a mishmash of Army Painter, mid-range stuff found at a hobby store. Yeah, it's mostly just kind of cobbled together. Nothing really too extravagant, because I beat my brushes to death pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
I did pick up a Games and Gears Katana brush, which has a silicon tip on it for detail work, because I was having issues trying to do eyes. And this is before I was started getting into mixing medium. So I tried to use it, but the paint kept drying before I could really dig in and use it, so I stopped using it. But I'll probably give it another shot now that I've got a little bit more experience with it. But yeah, that's pretty much it for paints and brushes.
What about other liquids, like your varnishes, your glues?
I've been Loctite super glue, the blue bottle, the professional liquid, as much as I can. I've tried gel. I never got into like the spray activator type glues. With the Loctite, I put on very little, hold it for 5 seconds, and if it's not metal, it's pretty solid. What else? I flip-flop back and forth between P3 primer and Army Painter. I've gotten bad cans of both, where they just go on and just cover it in weird bumps.
Ugh.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever run into that where it just doesn't come out smooth, or maybe I didn't shake the rattle cans enough. Yeah, I've used some other weird things like a crackling medium from a hobby store before I got the Citadel type.
Yeah,
which it's a cool thing. You just put it on thick. The thicker you put it on, the more it crackles, and the cooler the effect. So I recommend it if you're wanting like a desert theme.
I wanted to get that to do not like a desert theme, but to do a flaking paint kind of deal.
Like on like a big surface.
Like what you would do is you would do like an entire coat of rust. And then go over it with the medium, paint the medium the paint color, and then manually flake off pieces of it. So
I've seen people do that, and they've also done the, hairspray and salt trick?
I haven't heard of that.
Where you cover the model in hairspray and then sprinkle salt on it, and you paint over it, and when you're done, you can kind of just brush off the salt, and you'll have the layer you painted underneath show through.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I haven't tried it, but it sounds cool. For paints, that's about it. Pretty simple and straightforward. I don't airbrush.
Do you do varnishes?
I've tried to do a matte varnish on a couple models, but I'm always afraid it'll end up cloudy and ruining the paint. So I'm just extra careful so they don't get chipped.
How about modeling? Like, what do you do to take a sprue into a model? And do you have anything for custom work?
I use the Army Painter clippers that you find at hobby stores, a basic box knife, and I'm apparently a big shill for Army Painter, and have their file set as well for that. And then I go back and forth between P3's gray stuff and green stuff for when I need to fill gaps. I don't really do a lot of custom molding because I don't have any sculpting tools for it. Something to do eventually.
Let's see, what can I get? Basing.
Basing, random flock from different places I have nearby. Oh yeah, Citadel basing for different grass. Again, Army Painter flock. And I have a couple of jars of Vallejo water texture. Some of it in a dark blue and some of it clear.
It's almost like we shop at the same store.
I know, right?
Weird. Strange.
And then I have random bits that I picked up, like gears and stuff for a different game for Guild Ball. All of my engineers have gears on their bases. And then just leftover bits from other projects that I've used. I actually used an extra arm from a Cephalix model to look like a zombie arm coming out behind Leviticus. It looks kind of cool. Yeah, I just usually, when I try to find something interesting, I'll just grab a random bit and try to fit it on there somehow. What do you guys use?
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. Where to start? Okay.
Paints and brushes.
Let's go the same route that we did, Dave. Starting off, we are big proponents of shopping at your local gaming store.
Yep.
If at all possible. Which is where we got the majority of our stuff. And what we couldn't get there, we searched around either the internet or other craft. A lot of craft stores, actually.
Yes.
But since I started off my modeling career with 40K, I started collecting Citadel paint. And by the time I realized I wanted to do Malifaux, I had a good portion of the Citadel paint. So I ended up collecting all of the Citadel paint.
So we currently have all of the Citadel paint.
Not all of it, because they came out with some new dry brushes and a couple other metallics, and then the new, very new...
Most of the Citadel paint.
Yeah. I'd say about 160 pots.
Jeez, that beats me.
Collected a long period of time.
And some of those aren't paint, like all their technical stuff as well. And so I've just sort of learned how to use that. And what we couldn't get for those colors, we have a couple P3 stuff. Like, Citadel doesn't have a very bright pink, but P3 does, so we'll grab that pot. A couple other things.
Yeah, and our white and our black are
Vallejo. We can use, I think, for layering, we can still use the Citadel ones now that we really know what we're doing.
Yeah.
But for, like, basic, quick paint, the droppers from Vallejo are a lot more useful.
Yeah. You have to thin Citadel out quite a bit.
We've got 3 or 4 spray primers, and then also the pot of black primer from Citadel. What do we have for spray primers? We've got a black, gray...
We also have a white primer.
A white.
I'm not sure who that's from.
I don't know.
We have...
The white is sitting right there.
Well, the white spray, I mean, there's a paint-on primer, a white paint-on primer we have.
Do we have that one?
Yes.
I haven't seen it.
I've used it a couple times.
Okay.
Do you guys find yourself switching over to the paint-on primer?
Sometimes I use it. Mostly, I think we got it through the winter when we couldn't really go outside to spray on our primer because we don't have a garage.
Nope. We tried doing it in our bathroom, and that sort of worked, but the fumes, every once in a while, would get to you a bit.
Yeah, it wasn't the best.
Weird thing, our spray-on primers, we have a white, black, and a gray. They're all different companies.
We also have the Macridge Blue.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
From my Acadians.
So, do you guys usually favor a different primer color? I went away from black because it just took too much paint to get up past it with my color schemes that are usually brighter.
I really like to do gray, just because it doesn't lock me down to a color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Some I will do black if I know I'm going to go very dark.
I almost never use gray, just because I keep forgetting we have it. But if the model is going to be mostly bright colors, obviously I do a white. Or if it's mostly skin, I'll do white.
Yeah.
If it's mostly dark colors or especially a lot of metal, I'll do black.
Okay.
Brushes. We need to still talk about paint. Not the second thing about as far as paint goes.
We could probably talk about our mediums and varnish, but we can go ahead and move on to brushes first.
Brushes. Mostly just the same as you, Army Painter and Citadel.
Weird.
And I've got a collection of brushes that I actually use to paint on campus as well, and I just drag those out as needed, depending on what I'm doing.
Every once in a while we'll get like one from Michaels.
Yeah.
Or whatnot, because they're on sale.
Yeah. I was gonna say I think I bought like a pack of like 8 or 10 from there of various sizes.
Yeah.
And they're slowly all becoming dry brushes.
Personally, I am slightly rough with my brushes too, and have gone through at least 3 psycho brushes from Army Painter because they are the smallest ones I can find regularly, but they're pretty fragile too.
Mm-hmm.
And Malifaux has a lot of tiny details, so lo and behold, I'm using these brushes all the time.
I think I'm on my second psycho brush, so I'm a little gentler.
Do you guys use any brush cleaners?
We do have a brush cleaner and conditioner.
The Master's brush cleaner and preserver.
The pink chew tin, basically. Yeah. That guy, right there. Yep.
Mine's like tan. But yeah, it's cool.
What did I say?
Pink.
Whoops. Beige. I think I was trying to say beige. That stuff is beautiful. But we also have some thinner sitting around.
Got thinner. Water.
In our toolbox. Speaking of liquids, oh my, we have lots of stuff. We have droppers for water. Both of us have our own droppers because we often paint together and we don't want to trade. We have droppers for thinner, specifically...
We've only got the one dropper for the thinner right now.
No, we got two.
Do we?
Yep.
Did you mix another one?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So we actually use Liquitex, and I think we get that from Michaels.
Yes.
Liquitex has a thinner medium that's we use to thin our paints. I guess that's...
It works very well.
I've learned to really like Citadel because I can get the consistency I want. Because sometimes I want stuff that's actually thicker than what P3 has out straight out of the pot. Mostly because I don't want the paint to move at all for detail work.
Yeah.
But we use that thinner... And then, as well from Liquitex, we've got a matte varnish, a gloss varnish, a iridescent medium, which is cool.
He used it on... Have you seen his Karis?
I don't think so.
For models that I like want magic to be sort of a thing, I go over them with the iridescent medium after I'm done painting. And iridescence is sort of that rainbowy effect you see on like oil spills and like beetles and stuff.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. And I recommend it. And you need very, very little, and you can thin it out because it's super thick.
It is.
But it looks cool. I'll show you the model sometime. I'll go pick it up. Matte varnish, gloss varnish, whatever the varnish is between them.
Satin varnish.
Satin is the word we're looking for. A couple water effects. One secret weapon water effect. The Vallejo blue and the Vallejo white.
Yep.
Here's a white primer.
Oh, okay.
That is also Vallejo. Okay.
Yep. We have 2 different kinds of plastic glue. We've got
three different kinds. Three? We have Citadel's thin, which sucks.
I don't like that one. Yeah, I have that, and I stopped using it pretty quick.
The thick is the one we use the most of, and that does a pretty darn good job.
Mm-hmm.
That takes like 5 seconds for it to be pretty, just let go and let it set.
And then we have Plastizap.
We have Plastizap. It takes a lot longer to dry, but it says it does the job. We have stuff for decals, for water decals, because, again, I was doing 40K and they give you decals with your models. So, we also have the stuff to make our own water decals, we just haven't really used it. The only thing I can really think of using is to get the Full Metal Alchemist symbol on the back of one of my mage's capes.
We've got, I think, a couple different super glues in there.
Plenty of super glues. Ended up liking the Zappagap one best.
And then we've got the activator spray for the super glue.
That doesn't work out. Oh, and good old-fashioned Elmer's glue.
Of course.
Yes, for basing.
Yep. For basing.
And we also have a debonder for the super glue.
Which is great in case you get lots of super glue on you.
Yep.
I need to buy some of that. Because usually the next couple days I'm like picking off chunks of...
You still kind of end up doing that, but it comes off in bigger pieces at a time, and generally it'll be like off. A day.
Okay.
I've had it stay on for like a day. Huh, where where you just, later on, you're just picking at it and it'll just come off in a big old chunk.
Never really had that problem. We got this box full of just tools and junk, so just I guess we can probably go through it. Here's a tester's modeling glue. I don't think we ever actually used that. Dry pigments from Secret Weapon. Those were from my tanks that I did back in 40K. Some modeling tape, which doesn't stick very well to the model, but I've used it a couple times. It's all right. A liquid mask. Good thing to have. Haven't used it a ton yet, but I'm glad I have it in the back pocket. Dremel.
Got a little Dremel.
Got a Dremel. You need a Dremel. Do you have a Dremel?
I have a Dremel. I'm terrified to use it on Malpha models.
Why?
It works well.
Mine's just not a...
You have to be careful.
Do you have, like, one of the really high-powered ones?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a charge pack that you plug in.
It is not powerful in any sense of the word.
But oh my goodness, if you need to, like, remove stuff, you get the sander. The sander's glorious. Okay. Or you just need to start drilling into stuff. There's a lot of things we use it for. It's definitely a wonderful tool. Yeah. Some X-Acto knives.
Yeah. We've got like 3 or 4 X-Acto knives.
I've only cut myself maybe half a dozen times. That's actually a fairly decent record.
I cut myself pretty early when I get a fresh blade on, and then just end up dulling it to the point where I can just work with it enough to smooth it out and not cut myself. Safety first, kids.
We have 2 pairs of the
clippers.
The Army Painter clippers. And this glorious thing, which I think I praised it before.
Yep, in the first episode. I made you talk about it.
She made me talk about it. The mold line remover from Citadel. Now, I also mentioned that most of their tools are pointlessly expensive.
Yeah.
But this thing is so nice.
It's Citadel, of course it is.
It's for, obviously, removing mold lines, but you can... All those little nubbies that you have a hard time smoothing out when you build models, when you clip them off where they're attached to the sprue, this will smooth it out real nice. If you're ever, like, removing parts of a model or adjusting it, this will gradually scrape it away very, very well.
Hmm.
It's got a nice little curve edge to it, so you can do, like, curved surfaces. Like, this is how I made my jaws bald. This thing. So it does, you can't even tell there was a mohawk there.
Oh, nice.
Got some tweezers, reverse tweezers. Those are nice. I think these are also Citadel?
Maybe? I believe so. I don't know, it doesn't have a name on them, which I would expect from Citadel. But...
So it's not Citadel. Reverse tweezers, though.
Yes.
I need to get some of those.
They're handy. Got an itty-bitty screwdriver.
And,
hand drill.
And hobby vice is what they call
it. I have one as well when I was doing a lot more pinning with War Machine stuff. I had a jeweler's kit for drilling. I think I broke most of those bits because they are, like, hair thin.
Nope. Wait, don't use it nearly as much as I did for 40K.
Well, you did a lot more magnetizing with 40K.
Definitely a good thing to have for magnetizing. I believe this actually is the same drill that you used to put the hole in Terra's chest. All right, moving on to all this other stuff in the box. I think I actually went over most of it. I've got a metal sculpting tool that I primarily use for just digging out dried paint within the Citadel pots, because they got that weird lip on the lid.
Well, we use the flat part for laying down technicals, too.
Yeah. We use a lot of their technicals for, like, a base coat on the bases. Victoria does lots of basing. We can talk about basing stuff soon. If there's anything else I have to talk about here. And some bases. We've got bases everywhere.
We've got a big old bag of bases.
Oh, and some cork.
Yeah, cork board is one of the cool things that I learned about like a year after I got into the hobby.
You're making rock and shit?
Yeah, it's like, how do you make the rocks? Oh, it's just cork board. Really?
I like the super duper thin stuff so you can just layer it to fit what size you want.
I have 2 different thicknesses depending on what I need. I usually start with like a thick one and then layer up.
Yeah, we have the same. We've got a really thin cork here, and then I've got a thicker one in my basing box.
I think that sold most of her stuff. Oh, both of us have our own desk magnifiers.
His is smaller and battery operated, and mine is a monster that I have to plug in.
I haven't really needed that, but maybe I should look at getting one, because, yeah, I've gone cross-eyed a couple times.
They're nice to have.
Detail.
Good for tiny details, and especially the lighting and our...
I have this big, giant desk light here, and just do everything in front of my computer desk.
Nice.
So, oh yeah, do you guys, I'm assuming you guys use the self-healing cutting board things.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah, cutting boards.
I've got a little X-Acto one, and you've got a bigger self-healing mat, which I
should probably use it more often than I do. Yeah, our workspace is our kitchen table.
Yeah.
Which is mostly covered in junk, 90% of the time.
You don't eat at a table anymore.
Hobby. We did the other night, that was kind of nice.
Hobby takes precedence. So you want to go over all your basing stuff, because you're the basing guy.
Well, I figured I would go through the tools that I have that are different from yours real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I actually have a hobby saw. I don't have any blades for it right now. This is a chisel. Sorry. I've got an X-Acto hobby chisel, which I don't have blades for. But that was nice when I was trying to chop up a bunch of sprue for a base. I have a legitimate pair of pliers. And then I have a bunch of sculpting tools, because I do actually sculpt. I've got, like, a little roller, and then I've got, gosh, I don't even know what to call half this stuff.
Hooks and pokey things.
Hooks and pokey things, basically.
Do you have, like, the silicon tip stuff, or is it all metal?
Pretty much all metal, because I got the cheapest little, if you can see that at all.
Yeah.
I got the cheapest little set I could find. They work really well for what I want to do with them. So that's fine. And then we also have that set of little files that you were talking about. And now I can move on.
Which almost has been completely replaced by the mold pipe remover.
Yes. I actually still use the files for quite a lot. So. And then adding to our liquids, I now have a spray varnish. A matte spray varnish. And then are we talking about basing stuff now?
Yeah, sure.
All right. I have these, I guess, wooden picks, I'll call them, that I got from Michael's over with the popsicle type sticks.
Yeah.
One end they're rounded, and on the other they're in a point.
They're like at most half the size of a popsicle stick.
They are very small. They are what I've started using for wooden floors. And also I've started using them to apply glue to things, because they do have that pointed tip, and that makes them really nice. Then I also have some little wooden dowels that I've started using to apply things to other things. And also I took a couple of them, and I super glued, like, soda bottle caps on top. And I take a little bit of poster tack and stick it on the top, and I just jam, like, the foot of a model in there.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen people do that.
Yeah.
I tend to just base and prime, and then just paint on the base.
Mm. I do a lot with my bases, so it's...
I'll wait for, like, flocking and all that until I'm done. Mm. But I'll just get it all on there for, like, the base itself.
Most of the time, I don't know what I want to do with the base until I get the model all done anyway. So it's just easier for me to paint the model and then do the base.
Hey, Victoria, what's in your tackle box?
In my tackle box of joy and laughter here, I have some, like, Sculpey-type clay. It's not actually Sculpey. It's an off-brand. But I have some Sculpey-type clay. I've built a tree out of it. And then I've done a couple other little whatnot doobly things that I'm going to use on Terra's base.
Okay.
And then I also have green stuff in here.
I think we have the Citadel liquid green stuff as well. So.
Yes, we also have the liquid.
Several different thicknesses.
Let's see. We've got a bunch of itty-bitty barrels, which Doug got for one of his tanks, because he wanted fire...
I wanted fire barrels for my Imperial Guard tanks, but it's not going to make much sense to most people.
We've got some little plastic stumps, like tree stumps,
I think those are secret weapons as well. Could be wrong.
I believe so. I've got my bag of corpses stuff in here, and then also I went ahead and just put the Victoria of Ashes that my brother's dog chewed up, what I could salvage of her, in there as well.
Extra corpse.
Because, yeah, she's basically a corpse, and she looks really mutilated now, so she'll be really cool on somebody. One of her arms actually survived, and I put the hand on my Vanessa. So, now my Vanessa has that, like, energy scythe and then also a sword.
Oh, cool. Alright.
I lost the hand that actually came with her model.
Yeah, that was a weird fit.
Yeah.
It was just, like, the wrist for the hand.
Yeah. I couldn't get it in there, and it just flew off into the great blue yonder. So I just put Victoria Vash's hand on her. Then I have, I believe, two full sets of skeletons.
Sure. I don't think we need to go into specifics.
Probably
numbers.
Not. I've got just a pile of clock hands. One, two, three different sizes of gears. Location tags, I guess, is what we would call these.
They were grads. Like we got from Michaels, and we ripped off the little tabs on them. They look like sort of waypoint indicators you get on your map apps.
Okay.
And I used them for ski marks.
Oh, nice.
We've got a little baggie of bricks. Then we have a big old pile of base stuff from Weird, actually. We've got the...
Okay. The accessories.
The accessories, yeah, sorry. We've got hats and guns. We've got what's left of the fire set. I think this is the Ghost Town Graveyard thing. That's what's in there. I've got a number of little headstones that I actually bought at Michael's during Halloween.
Oh, also, if you can ever get your hands on the hats and guns pack, do.
Yes.
Because hats are wonderful.
Then I've got more accessories. I've got the Victorian accessory set from Weird. I got a couple of little jack-o'-lanterns that I bought also at Michael's for Halloween. I've got a handful of little dollhouse lollipops that I plan to put on Candy's face when I get her done. I've got a set of a bunch of clocks, a bunch of little charms that are clock-shaped.
Okay.
Those are all 40K bases. And then I've got a set of little buttons that look like stained glass windows, which I'm going to use with my night terrors. So that was my little tackle box of basing stuff.
Giant box of flock.
Giant box of other stuff, actually, because it's not all flock.
This is a general idea of how many different kinds of flock we have.
Like
all of the Citadel flock and some other flock.
I've got two different kinds of the big flock.
Clump.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different little flocks. I have...
Are they... Okay. Flock is a...
Sorry.
Like grass? Yeah, mostly grass.
Mostly grass. I've got some of them that look like they might be like leaves, but mostly grass.
Mostly grass.
I have four different kinds of rocks, ranging in sizes and colors. Two different kinds of sand. Oh, here's two more grasses. I've got snow. I have 7 or so different kinds of tuff. I'm not getting a totally accurate count.
That's fine. You guys have way more basing than
we
I do.
We went a little crazy.
Basing is my jam. I've got a couple different kinds of flowers here. That's my poster tag. I have a clear... This one actually has a story behind it, so I'll wait for that. Did I say two different kinds of sand?
Yes.
I've got the Black Battleground from Army Painter. I've got the lamps set from Weird.
Painting tape.
I've got some paper clips in here. A little bit of pinning stuff. I have rope, and I have chain.
Gale Force 9? Yeah.
Yep.
Quite a bit of Gale Force 9 stuff in here.
Most of my flock is Gale Force 9. Then I've got some different foams. And then I'll go into these construction adhesives I have, because it was a really neat thing I learned at MomCon, actually. I have a white and a clear now. But basically, you can do, like, a magic effect or an explosion effect, or you can have a smoking gun type thing going on. You just stick a pin in and have that go in whatever direction you want, and then you take this construction adhesive, and you just put a little bit on that pin, and you take a toothpick and spread it out. into peaks and bubbles and whatever kind of shape you want, because it will hold that shape. And then when it dries, you can paint it however you want. You have to be really sure that you don't get silicone, because that won't hold paint. But as long as you don't have the silicone-based adhesive, you can paint it. I've got the Loctite Power Grab Instant Grab for my clear, and then I have liquid nails for my white.
Is that it? Is that everything?
I've got my itty-bitty trees.
It's more of a train, but...
Well, I need to put them on, like, a little thing for my trees. I have a foam board that I'm building some terrain out of.
Plastic card.
My plastic card, yes. And then, not really basing related, but I do have a wet palette, which I just recently started using, and I really enjoy it.
I think that's it.
Hopefully
I can cut this down into something interesting, because I think we all just sort of rambled.
Do we have the ivy?
Yes, we have the ivy.
Awesome, that would go great with our...
Well, the poison stuff. Ivy, yeah.
So that's a look at all the stuff we have. Lots and lots and lots of stuff. A whole bunch of things, actually, that we, like, use only once.
That's kind of how it goes. It's like, I have a great idea for this thing I need, but you can only get it in bulk. So I need one, but I have, like, 20 left over.
Yeah.
Yep. Or a whole bottle.
That actually happened to me for my mechanical doves for my Colette group. I bought a bunch of tiny top hats for the mechanical doves to come out of.
Aww.
But you can only get them in, like, a box or a bag of, like, 25.
Can I have some?
Yeah, I have, like, if I still find the bag, I have, like, 20 left.
What you, sir, need to be asking yourself is, every time you put together a model, can I put a top hat on it?
They're too big to, like, put on a Malifaux head, but I could probably, like, it would probably fit on top of... like, this rattle spine. It would probably fit on top of him. Razor spine, yeah.
Spike snake.
He might fit on top of Kojo.
Pokey sock.
It might work with Kojo, putting top hat on him.
That would be best.
Put it... Ah, yes. That would also work really well on your board ratchets. So anything bigger than a normal human would benefit from the hat.
Yeah. Actually, here's one here. Do a quick dry fit. It's a little big.
No such thing.
But I could probably make it work.
Oh, okay, I see what...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
No, that's fine. I may have too much basing stuff.
No such thing. And we'll collect even more weird and goofy stuff, and a lot of it will have stories to it.
Oh, yeah.
So, actually, why don't we do that? If anyone's interested in actually contacting us, which would be nice... Tell us what weird things you have in your tools or basing or painting or whatnot that really you've only used once for one very specific thing and it's now just collecting dust.
Also, if it's something cool, we might harass you to send it to us.
Yes, because we're cheap. So I think that's good on that segment. So now we're going to do something we haven't done before. And we're going to do a bit of a preview for the next time Dave comes and joins us. And what we're going to do is a new segment, and will be many, many segments in the future, where we come up with new models for the game. This is something just about everyone's probably done in their head once or twice. And we're going to put a little bit of a twist on it just to make it more interesting in that we are going to challenge each other with particular restrictions for the models we come up with. So... each section we will have a particular faction and a rank, and we'll draw those randomly, and we won't do duplicates. But those are the restrictions everyone has to adhere to, and then we'll sort of draw straws for who challenges who to do what. And hopefully what we can do is we'll also posit one for the community to do and send in, and we will find the best one and discuss it on the show. So, randomly drawing, and it seems like we do a lot of Arcanist stuff, but the die said that we need to do Arcanists and Peons for the very first one. So, each of us needs to come up with a Arcanist model that has the Peon rank, and the also rolled randomly for who does the challenges. And I got to challenge Victoria, and so I said that Victoria's model... needed to not have a back card. Specifically, no attack actions and no tactical actions whatsoever. It just needs to be abilities and the base stats. Victoria, therefore, got Dave.
My restriction is that it needs to have the academic characteristic.
Okay.
Academic peon.
That actually sounds pretty fun. And mine for Doug is... I'll let broaden it a little bit from what we discussed earlier, but should have something to do with horror and paralyze. So if that's frozen hard, if it can, you know, if it's a totem that people can snuggle up to not be scared.
Okay, so prevent it, not give it out.
Either or.
Oh, okay. Why not both?
Oh, I guess not give out horror and paralyze, because that's not really faction. But yeah, preventing it, because both you and I have had so much fun being paralyzed for multiple rounds and Arcanist not having a whole lot to do with it, or not a whole lot of ways to remove it.
I don't understand what you could possibly be talking about.
Nurses are evil.
I love my nurses.
All right, so you want the peon to influence receiving slower paralyzed, horror duels, and or paralyzed.
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that. That's probably going to have to be like a rare one type thing.
Yeah, I figured they all were.
Well, I don't necessarily need to be that. I think yours, especially since that would make the mages a lot more powerful.
Yeah.
Would probably need to be like rare one or two. Yours, depends on what you do, really.
Yeah.
So, since this is the first one, the challenge we are giving out to the community, pretty simple, is that it needs to be a generic totem. So a totem that can be taken by any of the masters, obviously just one of them is all you can take, unless you do like a mechanical type thing. But try and fill a gap that the essence of power doesn't really fill. Was there another generic totem?
Not for Arcanist, that was the only one.
Okay, so yeah, they've got plenty of room to come up with something neat. I think that everything we got?
I think that's everything we were going to talk about tonight.
All right, so...
Unless you want me to gush over my basing stuff some more.
No, nope, nope.
Because I could go into a lot of detail.
Nope. So that's show, folks. Thanks for listening. Please give us a comment if you could. We like friends, and we like being proven wrong. So...
We like that.
Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time. Maybe Dave next time, maybe Kyle next time, maybe someone else if someone wants to step up and do a show with us. We're not very picky, but we will see all y'all in the next episode. And remember, folks, fun is always king. Thanks.
Bye.